Sask Ag Today with Doug Faulkner.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sask Ag Today. Coming up on today's program, the federal budget released yesterday has about $53 billion in new spending and is focused on things like housing, affordability for younger generations, and tax fairness. But there isn't much for agriculture. We'll hear from the president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture, Keith Curry. Also coming up on today's program, a change in consumer spending habits, lower commodity prices, and inflation all factor into Farm Credit Canada's outlook for food and beverage manufacturers. We'll hear from Desmond Sobel, the Director of Economics and the Deputy Chief Economist with Farm Credit Canada. As well, the Swine Health Information Center and the American Association of Swine Veterinarians are helping prepare livestock producers for dealing with highly pathogenic avian influenza. The Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center, Dr. Megan Niederwerder, will tell us about a webinar that's coming up this Friday that producers can tune into. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of Sask Ag Today. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist. Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. The federal budget released yesterday has about $53 billion in new spending and is focused on things like housing, affordability for younger generations, and tax fairness. But there isn't much for agriculture, which President of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture Keith Curry calls disappointing.
More importantly, the lack of inclusion of agriculture or even committing to agriculture. We were happy a couple of weeks ago when the government announced the increase in the interest-free portion of the advanced payment program. So we did thank them very much for doing that. That was and is a very important tool for Canadian farmers and ranchers going forward. But generally speaking, there wasn't a lot of incentives within the budget itself to really help encourage people to continue to invest in agriculture. We understand that, you know, there's lots of priorities for government's funding, but when we're dealing with something like production of food, the economic development aspect of that is huge for this country, not only from the economic part of it, but also from a food security aspect. And we continue to look at the government to help promote agriculture and help us with all the important tools that we need. So it would have been nice to see a bit more in the budget for agriculture, but we have to deal with what we have.
The budget did include an announcement that consultations on amending the Copyright Act to support interoperability will begin this June, but Curry says it's a repeat from last year's budget.
Yeah, and we're happy to see that. It was announced in the 2023 budget that there was going to be consultations held supposedly last summer, and that really didn't come to fruition. There have been a number of consultations put on by the private sector around, for those that don't understand interoperability, it's the right to repair aspect of things. And so another commitment to that, and hopefully we'll have to keep their feet to the fire to make sure they follow through on that, because it's an important thing for farmers not only to be able to continue to repair on the go their equipment, but really understand what it all means in the big picture. So hopefully they do follow through and have those consultations later this year.
There was also mention of the livestock tax deferral and the federal government's ongoing commitment to work with industry partners, such as the Canadian Cattle Association, to explore ways to ensure farmers can access it quicker in times of extreme weather events like drought or flooding.
Yeah, we need to dive a little bit deeper into that, but generally I think it's a fairly positive thing what we're seeing. And I think for our, especially for our cattle producers, it's really important that they have these kinds of tools. especially when you see markets going up and down and being able to take advantage of that situation. So, as I say, we're working closely with our livestock commodity organizations to really dive into what exactly that means in the big picture. But we're hoping there's some positives come out of that.
The tax on any capital gains above $250,000 is increasing from 50% to 66%. The federal government says this change is expected to generate $19 billion over 5 years, adding the change will affect any corporations, trusts, and individuals whose capital gains exceed the $250,000. Curry says they're checking to see what this means for farmers.
With respect to the capital gains exemption increase and then the tax part of it being increased, you know, we want to see what that means for people that want to expand, how that may work, and even especially for younger farmers that may be getting into agriculture. Asset values are very high, so what does that mean in the big picture long term for them, and is it going to be more costly to invest and expand? And so we're watching it very closely, and margins continue to stay tight. And I think that's the one thing that we've been trying to consistently say to government and in all their programming is you have to understand that we can't be left at a competitive disadvantage, especially with our neighbors to the south. So make sure we have the right tools there.
The increase to the capital gains tax will affect about 40,000 individuals and 307,000 companies. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
The 2024 federal budget tabled yesterday promises several benefits for Canadian farmers. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland made little mention of agriculture in her speech following the tabling of the budget, though she touched on issues like carbon pricing and green technology. However, Chapter 3 of the budget, titled Lowering Everyday Costs, features three sections on reducing costs for farmers. The first, Lower Costs and Fairer Treatment for Farmers, announces that the government will be launching consultations on interoperability in June. The section Interest Relief for Farmers proposes $64 million in funding to Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada to support a $250,000 interest-free limit on advance payments program loans for the 2024 program year. Finally, protecting farmers from the costs of climate change reads that the federal government is committed to working with industry partners, such as the Canadian Cattle Association, to explore avenues to ensure farmers get support quicker and more efficiently in times of need. Despite declines in production and exports during the current year, canary seed, also known by its Spanish name Alpiste, is looking to bounce back in 2024-25. David Knobs, chair of the Canary Seed Development Commission of Saskatchewan and pulse merchant for Purely Canada Foods, says exports are on pace for 110,000 to 120,000 metric tons in 2023-24, compared to 150,000 to 160,000 in a typical year. Statistics Canada projected 125,000 metric tons of exports for 2023-24, compared to 147,000 the previous year. He cites reasons for the slowdown, such as competition from other countries and a lack of demand in Europe, but also a 5 cent per pound discount for new crop compared to old crop, United States millet prices at 10 U.S. cents per pound, and a Brazilian ban on Canadian canary seed due to phytosanitary concerns. However, prices for new crop have stayed the same compared to last year at around 36 cents per pound, and hasn't come down compared to other major crops. Glyphosate resistance has been confirmed in lamb's quarters in Quebec. The finding, which comes from the Serom Grain Research Center, is the first confirmation of glyphosate resistance in the annual weed anywhere in the world. University of Guelph research scientist Dr. Peter Sikkema shared the news with those attending the Ag Business Breakfast meeting at Ridgetown, Ontario on Tuesday. The resistance was detected by spraying weeds in a greenhouse under controlled conditions. It is the sixth type of weed to be identified as resistant to glyphosate in Quebec since 2017. The resistance has also been confirmed by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada research scientist Martin LaForest. Although he had yet to see the research report, Sycamaw calls the news fairly significant because the CEROM chose to make a public announcement. Two men accused of beating and tying up a mentally ill man on a Saskatchewan farm have pleaded guilty to assault causing bodily harm. Adam and Peter McLean of Melfort are to be sentenced in July. The men were initially charged with aggravated assault against Christopher Hawkins, an agronomist who struggled with his mental health. RCMP say Hawkins had walked on the farm to take photos of combines in 2022 when he was beaten bloody and bound with cable ties. Hawkins died months later, and an autopsy report said there was no evidence the assault played a role in his death. An RCMP report last year found two officers were negligent in the investigation, as Hawkins was arrested at the scene and his sister was later told the McLeans couldn't be charged because the victim had died. CHS Incorporated has announced it plans to buy 8 Cargill grain facilities in 5 U.S. states. Those Cargill elevators are located in Pipestone and Maynard, Minnesota, Morris and Seneca, Illinois, Holdridge, Nebraska, Cheyenne Wells and Byers, Colorado, and in Parker, South Dakota. The purchase is tentatively planned to close in early June of this year. The financial terms of the deal were not disclosed by the companies. And Sask Ag Today is always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose Sask Ag Today. And yes, it is free. And that's the Ag Review portion of our program. It's time now to check in once again with Tanya Cherry.
We are at Haas Nissan today, 386 Broadway Street East in Yorkton. If you're coming into town, drive carefully and stop on by so that you can see the lineup that they have. Their lot is full, which is really exciting to say. And man, that Pathfinder, Greg, that is such a nice vehicle.
It's a really nice vehicle. It's luxury inside that thing like you wouldn't believe. All the, you know, latest amenities, features, and like I said, we got a good selection of the different packages. There's the Rock Creek Edition is really, really cool. It's like the original type of Pathfinder, really off-road looking, off-road shocks, off-road capabilities. So if you want something that's just a little bit different, kind of the traditional style, you got to come check this Rock Creek Pathfinder out.
I love it. And you will too. Come and see us right here at Haas Nissan.
Welcome back to Sask Ag Today. I'm Doug Faulkner. We have light snow and +1 degree in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 175.32 today. That's down 40. August live cattle closed at 172.77, down 15. May feeder cattle closed at 240.27, down 70. August feeder cattle closed at 252.12, down 22. May lean hogs closed at 94.92, up 20. June lean hogs closed at 102.72, down 10. And that's the livestock market conditions. The Swine Health Information Center and the American Association of Swine Veterinarians are helping prepare livestock producers for dealing with highly pathogenic avian influenza. SHIC Executive Director Dr. Megan Niederwerder tells us what the latest outbreak means to the pork sector.
Yes, for the first time in the U.S., this highly pathogenic avian influenza, the H5N1, has been identified in domestic livestock, including goats and dairy cattle. And what we know about this virus is that it causes high mortality rates when infection occurs in poultry. However, that is not what is occurring in the dairy industry. As we've seen this infection occur in dairy cattle, the clinical signs that the USDA is reporting includes decreased herd level milk production, a sudden drop in production with some impacted cows experiencing thicker and more concentrated, almost like colostrum milk. Also, we've seen a decrease in feed consumption in those dairy cattle and decreased rumination. And so anytime the virus changes with regards to clinical presentation, geographic distribution, and species affected, we want to ask the question, how does this impact the risk to the U.S. swine industry? How does this impact the risk for introduction into the U.S. and North American swine populations?
She notes there will be a webinar this Friday to discuss the situation.
Several of the presenters that are confirmed for this webinar include Dr. Amy Baker, Dr. Bailey Aruda, both from USDA Agricultural Research Service, as well as Dr. Jamie Jonker from the National Milk Producers Federation, Dr. Darrell Holdkamp from Iowa State University. Some of the information that they will be presenting on influenza include an overview of the pathogen, global and domestic distribution, research outcomes for highly pathogenic avian influenza experimental infections in swine, experiences and the perspectives of the dairy industry, including potential lessons learned over the last several weeks, and the standardized outbreak investigation tool that the Swine Health Information Center has supported with regards to development and utilization and identifying potential biosecurity hazards that producers can currently be considering. We want to provide this information really as a comprehensive overview of the influenza A virus, as well as risks to the swine industry, but also to identify potential biosecurity practices that producers can put in place now. That includes things such as limiting wild bird and wildlife scavenger access to swine farms, as well as limiting access to feed, such as open feed bins or feed spillage. We also want to identify potential areas in which producers can currently monitor risks, such as nests or bird droppings near air inlets or entry locations into the swine barn. Thinking about what's the risk of surface water and, of course, feed contamination from wild bird access and limiting those risks to, again, limit the risk of introduction of any influenza virus into our hog barns.
Dr. Niederwerder explains how this webinar fits into the mission of the Swine Health Information Center.
The Swine Health Information Center really has a mission of monitoring and mitigating emerging disease risks to the U.S. industry. And so when we think about trying to coordinate a webinar, we think about what are the potential emerging disease risks that we want to provide information to U.S. producers on, thinking about understanding new biosecurity hazards, thinking about how do we prevent and mitigate any emerging disease risk to the U.S. industry. We really try and present timely and responsive webinars to inform the U.S. industry on potential emerging disease threats and, of course, generate new knowledge on changes with regards to risks as well as mitigation strategies.
She outlines the key recommendations at this point for North American pork producers.
Yes, as we think about what North American pork producers can do now, a lot of it resides in thinking about biosecurity practices that can be implemented and revisited with regards to any risk of exposure to wild birds or wildlife for pigs themselves, as well as feed, water source, equipment. It's really important for pork producers to consider any potential exposure of equipment that's typically housed outside, if it has wildlife or wild bird exposure, to ensure that that equipment is adequately cleaned and disinfected prior to utilizing inside facilities housing pigs. Some of the other aspects that can be considered by pork producers now is access to compost piles or mortality disposal boxes, of course, open feed bags, and open feed bin covers with regards to how do we enhance biosecurity and reduce access of wild birds and wildlife to those feed sources that will eventually have access to our pigs.
Dr. Niederwerder says it's not too late to sign up for the webinar.
Yes, the registration is still open for this webinar that will occur on Friday, April 19th at 11 a.m. Central Time. The registration is available on the Swine Health Information Center's website, which is swinehealth.org. You will be taken to a registration link that includes your name and email address. You can also access the webinar after April 19th, as we will record the webinar and again post that on our website if you're unable to attend the webinar live.
And she provided these final comments.
Any additional information that will come from the Swine Health Information Center will be included in our monthly newsletter. I encourage anyone who is not currently receiving the newsletter to sign up for that on our website, as any updates on influenza virus and risk in swine will be included in those monthly newsletter updates.
Dr. Megan Niederwerder is the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Please stay tuned. Your Commodities Update is coming up next.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed mixed in the nearby months today. May canola closed at $6.11.60, down 90 cents. July canola closed at $6.23.80, up 30 cents. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $6.33.25, down 5 cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at $5.72.75, down 14¾ cents. May Chicago wheat closed at $5.37 per bushel, down 12¾ cents. May corn closed at $4.30¼, down 0.75 cents. May soybeans closed at $11.49½, that's up 4½ cents. May oats closed at $3.49¼, up 3¼ cents. And that's the commodities update. A change in consumer spending habits, lower commodity prices, and inflation all factor into Farm Credit Canada's outlook for food and beverage manufacturers. In their annual food and beverage report, FCC is forecasting a slight drop of 1.4% in manufacturing sales this year to $162.6 million. Desmond Sobel, Director of Economics and Deputy Chief Economist with FCC, says the forecast is not a surprise.
What we've seen in the lead up to this year is through the pandemic, there's been really, really strong sales, double-digit growth in a couple of the years. And so we're seeing inflation come down. So that's actually moderating sales. So it's not surprising. And where we're at this year, or our forecast for this year, is that sales will be lower than last year, but still higher than historical. So that's, you know, good news for the sector, even though it's a little bit of moderation, that's the trend is still upward. I would say, you know, the one wild card that we have in our estimates is that the U.S. economy and the resilience of that. 80% of our exports go to the U.S. And so we've heard and we know that their economy is actually doing really, really well. And so if it continues to perform well and maybe even outperform what economists are projecting, that could actually cause a little bit of a bump for our exports as well, which would actually maybe bring that sales growth up a little bit this year.
The report covers 8 different sectors: grain and oilseed milling, sugar and confectionery products, fruit, vegetable preserving and specialty food, dairy product, meat product, seafood preparation, bakery and tortilla products, and beverage manufacturing. Sobel says the results for each sector are quite variable for different reasons. Grain and oilseed milling, for example, projected to decline 11.3% in sales, but volumes to increase marginally at 1.1%.
Grain and oilseed milling, we saw a dramatic increase in global commodity prices through the pandemic and then Russia's war against Ukraine. There was really, really strong growth in the grain and oilseed milling sector. So this year, we're seeing commodity prices, they are coming down. They're still higher than average, but that's causing sales at the grain and oilseed milling to decrease this year quite a bit from what we saw last year or last couple of years. Even with that, though, margins will still be, improving for that sector. So that's one of the good news stories there as well.
FCC's gross revenue margin index is expected to improve slightly this year by 1.5% compared to the previous year. And Sobel says it will vary across the 8 sectors.
Like I said, inflation's fueled the sales, and so volumes actually haven't been nearly as high as the sales growth because those sales numbers include inflation. If you look at it from the cost side, and we've actually seen, in 2023, costs really began to stabilize across the manufacturing sector, and in some cases they did decline. And so the one, cost that's still elevated and is still a concern for manufacturing, and this, applies to farmers as well that are looking for labor, is wages. Wage growth is still hot. The labor market is cooling, but it's still elevated. So we're going to see, until that vacancy rate comes down, we're seeing an uptick in the unemployment rate, but we're still seeing strong wage growth. So that's one of the reasons why some of the sectors, grain and oilseed milling, had it, their margins compressed was wage growth is really strong. So that's going to be continuing this year as well.
From a consumer perspective, the report indicates grocery price inflation has slowed from its peak period of late 2022 into early 2023. But Sobel says spending habits have changed because of high grocery prices back then.
So in this past year, consumers actually spent less on food and beverages than they have over the last decade. And this is because they're having to make those tough choices. So we've seen consumers shift to, no-name goods, shopping more at, no-frills grocery stores. So consumers are having to make those adjustments because prices, are still elevated. So with inflation coming down, our forecast is grocery prices, inflation should come down about 2% by kind of summer through the end of the year, which is a great news story for consumers.
You can find the full report on the Farm Credit Canada website. It's time now to check in once again with Tanya Cherry.
We are at Haas Nissan today, and this is where you come to take a vehicle for a test drive. You might as well do it. I mean, it looks perfect driving weather. Snow is coming down. It's wet on the road. So you're going to know if that Pathfinder is exactly what you need on the highways when we have our regular prairie weather. Or is it the Murano that you're going to take out? Or is it the Rogue? What do you need? Do you need a big, spacious vehicle for everything to pile the kids, the family, all the bags in the back? Do you need lots of space? Or do you need a vehicle that is perfect for commuting? You got somebody going off to university. Yeah, your kid. You want to make sure that they're in something super safe, but great with fuel economy and the prices aren't that high. Well, they have all of those options for you right here at Haas Nissan. You can always call them 306-783-9461, but of course the best thing to do is come on down. 386 Broadway Street East, right here in Yorkton. You can't miss us. We're here at Haas Nissan.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Wheat Summer Classic, AI in Agriculture, will be coming up on Wednesday, June 19th. It will be held in conjunction with Canada's Farm Show in Regina, and lunch will be provided. This year's focus is on AI in Agriculture. They will have an update on Saskatchewan wheat Commission Activities and Business from the board chair, Jake Legui, a delicious lunch provided, and two exciting and knowledgeable speakers for everyone to enjoy. The guest speakers this year are Dr. Steve Shurtleff, a professor at the University of Saskatchewan College of Agriculture and Bioresources, as well as Walter Schwab with EchoPoint Corporation. The agenda will run at 10 a.m. That's when the arrival and registration will begin. Then at 10:30, it's the Saskatchewan Wheat presentation with Jake Legui. At 10:45, it'll be the UAV ground and satellite imagery with Dr. Steve Shurtleff, the University of Saskatchewan professor at the College of Agriculture and Bioresources. Lunch will run from 11:45 until 12:15. Then at 12:15, it's Responsible AI with Walter Schwab of EchoPoint Corporation. Then at 1:15, it's the networking and wrap-up portion. So you can register for that event now. Go to the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission website, and you can find out how to register for that event coming up Wednesday, June 19th in Regina. It's being held in conjunction with Canada's Farm Show. Also, just a note that the 2024 Crop Diagnostic School is coming up July 24th and 25th. That will be held in Melfort. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's coming up on 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast. For the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today, an 80% chance of rain and snow showers changing to snow, winds west-northwest at 15 to 30, and a high of plus 3 degrees. For tonight, an 80% chance of snow with 2 to 4 centimeters possible, winds northwest at 20 to 40, a low of minus 4. For tomorrow, a 70% chance of flurries diminishing as the day goes on, winds northwest at 25 to 50, a high of minus 1, an overnight low of minus 4. For Friday, mainly cloudy, winds north-northwest at 20 to 40, and a high of 0. For Saturday, sunny, a high of plus 5, and Sunday, mainly sunny, a high of plus 10. In the Paw, it's 1 degree. Swan River is at 2, Dauphin 6, Brandon 5, Show Lake, Russell and Roblin 3. Regina and Hudson Bay are at 1, Saskatoon and Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 0, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head 2. The Yorkton, Melville region has light snow, a west wind at 24, gusting to 35 kilometers per hour. 98% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 1 degree. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for SaskAg Today for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.